Welcome to the Fabulous by Design podcast. I'm your host, Ivana Ivanik. This show inspires and empowers you to take the next step towards a life you can't stop thinking about. I am bringing in people from all over the world with authentic and inspiring stories. People who change their lives from good to better, from miserable to great, turn tragedy into hope, and start living their dream life on own terms. Grab your favorite note-taking device, lean back, and get inspired. I believe that everything you need to create a life of your dreams is already within you. Welcome to the Fabulous by Design podcast. Another Wednesday, another exciting guest. Today, I have the honor talking to Jodi Crawford, coach and teacher, and the author of Radical Responsibility. The pink and blue solution for healing the ambitious and exhausted souls. In a moment, we will be hearing all about it. But before that, I want to ask you, dear listener, are you living the life you want to live? Where are you playing small? Where are you doing what you were taught to do? And where would you like to make a change? Where would you like to create your own path forward? If this is a question you're asking yourself and you would like to sit a little bit longer around it, you will find on the very bottom of the show notes a link to a guide where I cue you in a very short video how to state what you want, to envision it, and how you can define your obstacles so you exactly know where you need to start. Dear Jodi, I so appreciate you being here. Thank you for your time. I'm so excited to just, you know, go straight into this conversation. I got hooked on the term or on the phrase pink and blue solution. What do we need to know about you to understand the pink and blue solution?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on today. I am delighted to meet you, to actually be an acquaintance. One of the things I love about technology is like you're literally halfway across the world from me. And I just feel delighted that our souls attracted each other out of the millions of people that we could connect with. There was some reason why those words spoke to you. There was something in the frequency that matched your frequency, and that always delights me. So my journey began, as many great stories do, with trauma, right? Where it's like, you've got this, you know, big thing happening in your life. And for me, it was a diagnosis around chronic adrenal fatigue. And I had a ton of irons in the fire. I was a high school teacher full-time. I ran a creative arts, health, wellness, and education collaborative where it was basically like a studio and a school all in one where people could come take a class, create a class, and learn a class. And I sat on several committees and I was parenting and I was friending and so it was just this like, I was playing this game of and. I was coaching for a seminar company at the time as well. And so my days began at 4 o'clock in the morning and then went until 11 or 11:30 at night. So I was blueing is what I call it, which is the doing. I was in full masculine, conscious energy, and I wasn't allowing myself to recharge. And my body was just depleting and depleting and depleting and depleting to the point where I started to really, I couldn't ignore it anymore. There was a point where I was like, something's really wrong with me and I'm not certain what it is. And I couldn't put my finger on it. Suddenly it was like time to make a doctor's appointment. And so went and had a whole bunch of testing done, a gamut of testing done. At the end of the day, the doctor said to me, you know, you're on the road to an illness that many people don't come back from. And I won't even speak it. Like I just have no desire to even bring it into fruition. Yet the words and her tone said everything to me. And I declared that it was not going to be my journey. And I stood up and she said, well, what are you prepared to do? And I said, make a change now. I started pulling all of my irons that were in the fire out of the fire. That was like all the committees that I was on that I loved. And that's how I connected to my community. I shut them down. I shut down my studio, which was like leaving a child. It literally was a business that was, you know, so my heart was so in it. It was time to go. And then on top of all of this timing, by the way, was the pandemic. So, we had that kind of energy that was on top of the busyness energy I had. So that was gone. And then it was time to pull in, like really get clear about whether or not I wanted to continue teaching at a high school and all the regimens and the demands that are expected. I love teaching. I'm not one of those ones who are like, well, I did it because I got my summers off. It was like, no, it's who I am. Yet I walked through an identity crisis of if I didn't have teaching, who would I be? And so there was a lot of fear that came up through that journey piece too. But I also knew that without my health, I could never teach again. I mean, the reality was is that when your health is at risk, your priorities line up pretty quickly, right? And so it was like, okay, this is very clear to me. I got very, very clear. So I ended my contract with the seminar company I was coaching for. I thought a leave of absence from my 10-year teaching contract, which I just knew I wasn't going to go back to. I shut down my studio completely. I left all of the committees, and left on my plate was parenting, friending, coaching in my private practice. And that all felt good to me. Then the next step was, I actually don't even know how, and this is the educator in me, I'm insatiable as a learner. I didn't know how to be. I didn't know. I remember working with an energy coach at the time, a feminine coach, and she said, go sit in a hammock for an hour. And she may as well said to me, go poke your eyes out with spoons. Because I was like, that is the worst thing I can even imagine.
I
I can't
can't imagine
even
that.
imagine.
I have a couple of
Horrible.
questions, Jody, that are arising
Yeah.
here. Because as I started listening from the beginning, I thought, like, wow, that's a woman with ambition. That's a woman of on a career path. Because I guess this is what you wanted. This came from a place of your heart. It was all jobs you like to be doing. You said you had a little identity crisis. You didn't know how you are supposed to be without that. Was it the silence you couldn't be with? Or was it the purpose that was missing? Or did you have a feeling of not enoughness after letting go of all that you were doing?
Great questions. So in the beginning, I think that it was just the fear of the purpose. Like, if I'm not teaching, then what am I doing? Because I didn't realize that teaching and coaching in the style I do it in are the same thing. They're really the same thing. I'm like gifting tools to my clients constantly. And so there was a new way, right? So once I realized that I didn't have to actually let go of my identity in order to continue forward, it would just look differently. That was the beginning. The second piece was, could I be with the stillness? Well, I picked my family up and we moved to Costa Rica for 3 months. And my family doesn't travel. So there was, again, all these obstacles, right? Where it was like, are you coming with me? Are you staying? Like, what's happening here? I'm not certain. Yet I knew I was just pulled to this cultural experience. Of being. Like their motto literally is pura vida, which is the simple life. And my life was anything but simple, right? So I was like, yeah, I want to go there. I want to learn what they know, And so that's where sitting on a beach for 45 minutes and just watching the waves come in was foreign to me. So yes, my nervous system was very uncomfortable with it. Right. I felt like I should be doing something. Like, shouldn't I be doing something? Like, there was
Totally.
like, yeah, there was this like itch in me. And in the past, I would have got up and started playing catch or frisbee or collecting shells or making art or like just filling the space. Yet I really took my doctor's orders very seriously because the end result was not the path I wanted. So I was like, no, you're gonna sit here. And even if it's uncomfortable, that's okay. So there was that it moment was definitely not enoughness, where I was like, I'm not doing enough. I should probably be doing more. Like all the stuff. But it was just rattle. It's just like the rattle in my head that was going, and I just allowed it. I just allowed myself to be uncomfortable in the silence. And then eventually I got to a space of, oh, this is actually nice. Like, oh, I can read a book for hours in a hammock. Never in my life have I slowed my brain down enough to choose to read
Yeah.
for hours, you
What you're
know?
saying really resonates with me because I've had a desire for 10 years straight to live by the sea. I was so drawn to the water, wanting to live the city life. Literally never managed because this is not what you do if you have the perfect life in a city. This is not what you do if you are supposed to climb a career ladder. You don't go to Greece where the economy is low, right? And by now, I ended up in the Caribbean, so I can truly relate to this lifestyle and what it does to you. So, and I also know when you say, like, oh my God, I could read a book. I remember myself many years ago where I was sitting with that book. At the same time, I was adding coffee into my overwhelmed nervous system. I was sitting there. And while I was reading, I didn't even know what I was reading because my brain was just so loud, and I was never able to allow myself to read that book, no matter how much I wanted it. What has changed? And is this when you say that, when you speak about the pink solution, right? About the feminine. Is this our feminine part, and how can we separate feminine from masculine?
So I just want to be clear that this, we're not talking about divine feminine, divine masculine, because there's a lot of stereotypes and a lot of archetypes that come with that, although I do address that in my book and the difference between the two. When I talk about divine or masculine and feminine in this case, I'm talking about energy. So masculine energy, to be clear for your listeners, is the doing energy. So this is energy expenditure. So I'm going out and I'm expending energy by experiencing life through all of my senses. I'm smelling it, I'm tasting it, I'm feeling it, I'm, you know, touching it, even intuitively. Well, intuitive is more on the feminine, but we'll talk about that. But if I'm visualizing and I'm putting my brain to work, I'm doing. So I'm expending energy, and it's how we're meant to experience life. So we don't ever want to eliminate the blue. We want the blue for sure, but we want to wrangle it in. We want to like lasso it. We want to shape it. We want to make it strategic so that we can really utilize, I call it no shit, no kidding, that time effectively and efficiently and get stuff done. Then, in the essence of the feminine, and this is what I learned in Costa Rica, I actually replaced my teacher salary working 2 days a week in Costa Rica. And suddenly I was like, wait a minute. As I'm sitting on the beach, I'm getting paid. And all of my ideas started to float in more readily because I was attached to the ether, is my belief. And suddenly I was getting creative. My creativity was igniting. And I desired to work. I was like, I would get goosebumps head to toe. And I'm like, I wish I had a notebook out here, like on the beach, because all these ideas would just like flood through me. And it ignited an idea that actually the success, the moving forward, happens in the pink. Very much like how when you go to the gym and you work out and you're in the blue, you're like pounding that muscle, you're like, you know, pounding the weight, and your muscles are bulging, and you know, you know you're working. But that's not when the muscle grows. The muscle grows when you're in repair. It's when you're in your sleep, and then it starts to repair itself, and then it grows. And that's what I noticed was actually, I feel like I've been lied to. I'm achieving more while I have more pink time in my life, which is the being time. So this is the rest, the recovery, the time to relax than I was when I was doing and doing and doing and doing. And so I was like, something's amiss. And now I'm curious. And then all these ideas again started flooding through me. And it was like, I have this idea I want to try. When I was teaching high school, I taught psychology and sociology. And so I would have my students do social experiments all the time. And I thought, I'm gonna ask my clients if they would like to do an experiment. And the experiment was basically the pink solution, which was, could you add, which by the way, was very difficult because my clients are very driven and very ambitious, right? So I came back and I said, I've got it, you guys. I know what's going to create the change. You need to rest. Like, I mean, and they were like, you mean do nothing?
What is that? How does it look like?
Like somebody had farted in front of their face, right? Like they had this like look of like disgust. Like, I'm sorry, nothing? Right? And I kind of giggled and I was like, well, yes, I guess, meaning you don't have to go do anything, but this is where you're actually going to be receiving. So this is about actually surrendering and receiving. So the being space is being open and expansive. The feminine is expansive and possible, right? And so it was like, okay, so what would fit in there? And so I started to collect practitioners around me that were pink practitioners. So they helped people get into that expansive space. Things like acupuncture and relaxation massage, and then no practitioners at all, staring at the clouds outside or the stars or the aurora borealis or at the ocean waves, going to sit on the beach, grounding, earthing, foresting, right? Having your feet actually dug into the earth. And each of these modalities are all healing modalities, but they were all from the pink. It was like, you know what? Go sit and hug the tree and listen to the tree. Like, just listen.
These
And
are
I
all
know. Go
very
ahead.
powerful tools that we often very underestimate. Oh my God, I couldn't go without anymore. This couch behind me is a place where I would always drop after a maximum of 2 hours of working, where I would regain my energy. Like I do something sometimes, sometimes I don't do nothing, sometimes I fall asleep. This is what happens because it's a need. It became kind of a ritual in my day. I do this like once or twice in the day. But I like to believe, Jody, that a high achiever, an ambitious woman or man will always be a high achiever, right? And yesterday I read a question that came across social platforms being like, is being a high achiever unhealthy?
That's a great
How would you
question.
answer that question?
I would say if you allow it to be unwrangled, I think it could be very unhealthy. Yet one of the things that, and this is where it gets really interesting. So when I started working with a spiritual coach, I found her to be very pink, like so pink that I was like, yeah, I need some structure here. Like I can't, the teacher in me needs to scaffold my brain from one idea to another. That's what we do as teachers, right? We're clever. We're like, what do you already know? How can we pair it with something you want to know, right? And so I was like, I'm not relating to this whole like completely, I guess we'll call it woo-woo because there's lack of a better word, but this whole playing in just the ether space, because I actually don't believe that my purpose here is to be a monk or to go into that, you know, space all the time. So I also didn't want to be in the seminar company I was working for was very goal achieving and goal set. So it was all about get it, go, let's see how far we can push ourselves. It was about finding our limits, right? And yeah, I went over my limit and it broke my body for a little while, right? And so where I coach from is the middle, where I'm like, we need both. Like we need both. So if you're a high achiever, you can also achieve in the pink. Like people are like, they notice, they come to me and they're like, Jody, I'm even approaching my pink in achievement energy, like in masculine energy. And I was like, hey, if that's how you have to begin, is to book in your stuff and make it happen, then great. At least you're beginning, right? At least you're beginning. I work with people who work downtown office buildings, and they are going out on their lunch hours to the rooftop garden, taking their socks off, rolling up their beautiful pants, and sticking their feet in the planters, and taking photos of it and sending it to me. And they're like, this is all I could do today. I was like,
Are a winner if you
do
are
that.
able to take 10 minutes of your day and stick the feet in ground. Indeed. That's
Yeah,
not
and
too
it's,
much.
you know, in Canada, like it's still snowing right now. We've had some spring weather, and then the snow came back. And so sometimes that's difficult, right? To go outside and spend time. Yet also, so what? Get outside, dress up warm, get some fresh air, be in nature. It's amazing how healing it is. I watched this guy on Instagram the other day take his kids into the rain and literally take some chicken noodle soup, not healthy, yet he was like, we're gonna get cold and we're gonna eat in the rain and we're gonna get muddy. That's what we're doing today. And I was like, you're amazing. That's
Beautiful.
awesome. And it was like a forest bathing thing, right? Like he wanted their nervous systems to be regulated in, you know, nature, which is just such a beautiful space. So yeah, so I think that achievement can be unhealthy if it's unwrangled, for sure. And yet I think it can also be really healthy, right? That's why I focus my attention on ambitious
I
people.
see that. I see that. It's powerful. It's so incredible, beautiful to see how much power we actually carry within.
Agreed.
Right?
Yeah,
So
yeah.
incredibly pretty. So if you say, Jody, that you mentioned in the beginning of our conversation how miserable your life ended or became after all the doing and the go, although you've been doing what you loved. So it's not always the misery of not loving our job anymore or wanting to change job, but it is as well the portion, right, we add onto our day. You've been through this transition, you learned a lot as a high achiever yourself as well. How exactly did your life change, except that you are taking now moments where you sit on the beach or read a book? What else has
Yeah.
happened?
Well, I think a really big portion is helping people design energy calendars for themselves. And so I think that's something that's unique is sitting down and really looking at how you individually expend energy and when is your best time of day for you, because everybody's is unique, right? And so that's really shifted in my coaching because I'm a holistic practitioner. So I look at all nine areas of your well-being: emotional, mental, spiritual, financial, intellectual, environmental, which I think is very underestimated. We look at all these different areas of well-being, but in the past, I didn't look at them through the lens of the pink and blue solution until it came. And then when it came, it was so obvious to me that the mental, emotional, and spiritual sides are really impacted deeply by the pink, which then filters through to impacting your financial self, your occupational self, your physical self, all of the different things. And so I do think that nurturing the pink is a beautiful beginning. Tony Robbins and I have a bit of a clashing result on that because he believes in physiology, like create physiology, shift first. And that's the do be have model. And I'm the be do have model, where I'm like, get it in your head first. Yet I don't think there's a wrong way. Either way can do, because if your mind is taken up because your body is in control, you know, that happens with disease and disorder and pain. Like, man, if you've ever experienced chronic pain, it can take you. Like, it takes over. And so then, you know, then you it's are you you got to become kind of the master of your thoughts, the master of your mind, right? Which is Joe Dispenza's work, where he's like, let's go inside and get you out of your bodies for a little while. And he when I walked through a chronic meaning more than 2 months, it was a 6 month issue with my back, Joe's work saved me, right? So it was like, I think there's a place for everything. When there's people who feel like they're on the couch, because some people come to me, and I mean 1% of my clients come to me and they're too pink. They're like, I have no ambition. I have no productivity. I don't feel motivated to do anything. I feel, like I don't have purpose or place. Like they're just kind of floundering. They feel untethered and lost. Right. And so then we look at purposefully adding in blue. What does that look like? Right. And so that has been a big change for me, is living by the calendar that I created for myself and honoring it, like really honoring it. And so initially it was having a pink day, pink and very light blue day on Thursdays, because my kiddos were out of the house at school, my partner was out of the house, and none of my friends. Most of my friends are employed, and so some of them are entrepreneurs, but even then they kind of put their entrepreneurial hat on during the week. So nobody needed me on Thursdays, and I didn't book any clients, I didn't book any tasks, or like it was just my freedom day, and I just would flow with. I'd sleep in if I wanted to sleep in, I'd get up and do whatever I wanted. It was just like this kind of day. And so that's the kind of stuff that I do now with clients as well too. Like I just help them design their life according to their energy, right? And so that was a big transition for me, is
Do we find
realizing
those
that there's
teachings in your book, Jodi?
The book, it becomes a toolkit for sure. So, and I offer classes online interactively because some people like the guidance more than just reading it. Yes, but however, you can. Yes, there's inventories throughout the whole book that will lead you to building your own energy calendar.
Absolutely great. When and where can we get it? Where can
Oh,
we get radical responsibility?
Amazon. By the time this podcast comes out, you will be able to pop onto Amazon. It will be unique. It's the only book cover I know that doesn't have the title on the front. You'll look for a symbol, which is a pink and blue circle. Yeah, and I'm just really excited for it to ignite and hopefully impact the world in a very simplistic way. It's just simple. It's a really simple concept that anybody can apply.
Yeah, all it needs a little bit of effort and self-compassion and just try what's out there for you, because not always what we learned needs to be the way. We are powerful enough and we have the capacity to change whatever we want to change. I truly believe in this. The listener, if you have now listened to Jodi's story, and if you're ready now, then this is your sign to go to the show notes, get in touch with her. Or if you have been thinking of a person who might need to hear this conversation, please share it with them. Better this is a friend, a family member. Whoever needs to hear it deserves to hear it. And I can only say that a book has changed my life. And I can also only imagine, Jodi, that your book will find the right people and change theirs.
I would like to say that the one gift, if you could walk away from this, even if you never purchase my book, not that I'm not encouraging it, go ahead and do that, I would love it, is to celebrate the people around you who want to do pink and they're scared to tell you. Because that is the biggest thing that, the judgment that people put on other people for. Like, oh, what did you do today? Well, I laid on the couch after I worked for 2 hours twice. And you don't have somebody in your life going, that's fantastic. High five. That's amazing. You should do more of that, right? Cool. What did you learn? Did you just rest? Did your brain go? And like high five people and encourage them to get into pink. I think that can create a zeitgeist within this world that can literally change humanity.
I appreciate you mentioning this. Yes, the encouragement is what it needs, because there is also so much shame. It took me forever to be able to say, I'm doing nothing today. I'm sorry. I don't have time for you. I'm not gonna go. I'm gonna lay down. I'm gonna move that appointment because it just doesn't sit well with me. It was a whole lifetime that I needed to learn this, and you just can't get to listen to this and take a snippet out of it and celebrate those and yourself if you're already managing, then we are on a good path. I see that.
Having a recovery day. I'm having a recovery day. Oh, amazing. Do
Yes.
that. Yes.
Yeah, it's like I
Love
think we are also powerful enough to have the capacity to relearn, right? If you haven't been doing that and it feels difficult, it's just a sign that you're a human being. And I think Jody and me can guarantee you that you can get through this. And once you got it, you will never let go of it.
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Dare to be clunky. It's okay. It's okay.
Absolutely. I would like to round up this conversation with my last question, Jody. What do people misunderstand about you?
I think the biggest one I get when I post something where I've had a disgruntled day or like I'm walking through a shadow work, people have said to me often, "Oh God, it's nice to hear that you too are get upset or you too have bad days." And I'm like, "Wow." So the expectation or the thought about me prior was that I'm always happy and that I'm always in delight and joy energy. And I think it's beautiful because people do call me and just say, "Hey, I need to be around good energy today. Would you mind going for a walk with me?" And that is the highest compliment to me. Thank you. Yes, I would love to go for a walk with you and bring joy energy. And as my oh so cutely human self, I also have no good, very bad days. And I need to reach out to people and be, lifted by their sunshine. And that I'm part of as a light worker, I definitely radiate higher at a higher frequency than a lot of people. I understand that. And I understand the responsibility of that. Yet also, I go to dark. And in the dark is where I learn. And it's where I grow. And that's where my curiosity ignites in terms of that growth. So I think that's the misunderstanding is that because I'm positive and I am an optimist, I'm still a skeptic. And that's, I ask good questions and I question everything. Maybe that's a second one that people misunderstand is they assume that you have to be a pessimist and you have to be negative in order to be a skeptic. Yet that's not the case with me.
Oh, I wish we would ask more questions and question more when we are taught to do certain things and how we sometimes feel about it, whether it really aligns with our values and with who we are. I think this is often underlooked because we go so quickly, quick, right? You get a question, do it, you do that, and it takes a lot. Takes a lot. Yeah. Thank you for sharing, Jody. I really appreciate you. It has been very insightful for me as well as I think we never, never, ever stop learning.
Can I turn the tables on you for just one sec?
Yeah.
Would you be open to it? I'm curious, like, after hearing about the pink and blue solution, like, what was a takeaway for you? Do you already do in your life, or what do you feel that you're going to add to your life after being in this conversation, this new conversation?
Absolutely. What my biggest takeaway is that pink and blue, or feminine or masculine, is not necessarily highly spiritual. So we don't have to be spiritual at all to practice feminine and masculine or to understand it. Because I can only say what I see on the internet and from other teachings that I have partly experienced, partly just read about it. It is very spiritual. So for me, it was, I am a spiritual person, but I'm not only spiritual. I am like you, a teacher, and I need the science behind it. I need to grasp it, and I need a very, very, very solid foundation still. And now learning that tapping into my feminine doesn't need to be spiritual. It is just a way of honoring yourself and honoring your being in your day was the biggest takeaway.
I love that. I love it.
Appreciate you, Jody. Thank you for being such an incredible, great guest on this show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm delighted to meet you.